The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, episode 5, season 7. We've got to get that right, Kiki.
Have we been going that long?
No, I don't know. I just made that up. But
it's got to be at least been a while. It's 5 or 6. I think we start, what did we start, 18 or 19? You had this grand idea
during COVID, I think.
No, it was before COVID.
What did you? Yeah,
it was before COVID.
Cat's got to win, Kingy.
Cat's got to win.
I tell you, Cat fans at half time had extraordinarily tight sphincters, I would have thought. They were going horribly half time.
It was a very ordinary game of football.
They were lucky to not be
further in front.
Hawthorn, not Geelong.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Hawthorn, yeah. Tyler Brockman running into an open goal should have put him 24 points up.
They'd actually dominated. They dominated the first half of the first quarter and the back end of the second, and the Cats were hanging on for just grim death.
Yeah, or dear life even.
Yeah, one of the two.
You don't hang on for grim death, don't you? Hang on for dear life. You don't want grim death, Becky.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, that's what
you've
it was
mixed,
like.
You've mixed your metaphors. Well, you haven't mixed your metaphors. You've just picked the wrong one there.
That's you'll be able to cut that out.
No, I'm leaving it there.
Yeah, of course you will. The other stuff, the intro last week got cut out when I told a little gag and it got absolutely cut out of it.
Yes, we're moving on, Benny. We are absolutely moving on. Yeah, nobody. I don't think anybody saw what was to unfold over the next hour and a quarter.
Well, Hawthorn didn't.
No.
They got neither did
a boundary umpire.
No, he didn't see that too. But
we're recording this on early Wednesday evening. I think you're making a bit of a special guest appearance on AFL 360 tonight.
Oh, really?
Because you had the call at the time.
Yeah, because everyone went crazy in the box, I think.
Yeah.
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 Which was like did you see that one?
The problem is people are listening to the radio, Benny, and guess what? They didn't see it.
No, they didn't. It was quite extraordinary. You knew something bizarre had happened by the reaction.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sort of had to do a double take to go, oh, right, okay.
Well, the umpire didn't do a double take. And Jeremy Cameron certainly didn't do a double take. Yeah. Cannon Strain, he was pretty ordinary, wasn't he, Cameron? Just the lazy 7 snags.
He's got 18 for the year.
Yeah.
Would he be leading the Brownlow? I know Geelong lost their first 3, but he probably would have polled against Carlton.
Have to. 3 or 2.
Maybe against Collingwood?
Maybe not against Collingwood. What did he kick, 3?
4, I thought he kicked. Didn't he go 4? Oh, no, maybe it was 3. He went 3, 6 and 3. Oh, no, maybe he only kicked 2 against Collingwood. Because he definitely kicked 6 against Carlton.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be in the votes against Collingwood. He still played quite well.
But he would have been against Carlton. He's probably got the 2 there.
Dacos would have got 3 in that game, wouldn't he?
So he might have 5. He might have got a vote against Gold Coast.
Yeah, he was handy. They were well beaten. Potentially. Yeah, look, he'd have some votes for sure. I don't think he can win it.
No.
Not playing that position. He has to be a midfielder.
Although he's not...
He can't win it.
He's a key forward in name only because he's more... He can play as a key forward, but he's, as we know, his athletic ability is
vast. Yeah, he gets up the ground. He had 20 kicks, I think, against the Hawks.
20 kicks, 9 marks, 7-1. Five, yeah. But he had 5 inside 50s as well, so he's putting it inside.
He 50. Is, and he probably had a couple of assists there. I know he set up the first goal.
Yeah,
the goal to Max Holmes
on the side,
as well as kicking
time.
The other 3 till half time. So he'd actually had a direct hand or kicked all 4 of the Cats' goals in the first half. But yeah, he can get a lot of it. But I just don't see he's not winning the Brownlow. I'd be great if he did, but history would tell you that you need to be in the midfield permanently and get it 35 times. It makes no difference where the ball goes after you get it, but as long as you're getting it, you'll get some votes.
False dawn, Benny, or is this a sign of what's to come that the Cats might have clicked into gear?
Oh, look, I wouldn't be prepared to say either way, Kingy, to be honest with you.
Off the fence,
it's
Benny.
It's never as good as you think, and it's never as bad as it seems.
Unless it's grand final day last year, and that was
there was movement in the lines there, wasn't there? Early on in the first quarter, you knew the Cats was on, and there was a twinge. There was a twinge in the Murray Rance, wasn't there, when that was going on? You knew the Cats were home. They were just flogging the Swans that day, and they gave them a good old spanking. But look, I'm not. I would be very reticent to be, jumping up and down and saying the Cats are back on the back of that. It was a really good confidence booster for some players. Hawthorn are are going to get pummeled like that more often than not this year. I know they beat North. The other two games, they were pizzled. They were pizzled against the Cats. But we did get some confidence into some key players.
Stengel. I thought
Stengel played well in the second half. I thought Bowes played quite well in the second half.
Duncan got a run in his
Duncan
legs.
Duncan played well. Be interesting to see how he goes second up. Sometimes they go well first up and struggle a bit second up. But, yeah, he was good. You could tell he was off, though, a little bit early.
The skill execution.
Yeah, and he's just a little bit, but he did find plenty of it. So he'll only get better. I thought Hawkins seemed to move a bit better, yeah. Albeit I think it's misleading when you're getting the ball like the Cats were inside forward 50.
But he seemed to be moving. He moved up the field better. Like, he wasn't, didn't take many marks sort of north of the forward edge of the centre square, defensive side of the centre square in the first three rounds, but he was actually marking the ball on the wing or competing.
Yep.
But admittedly, in the first half, there was a couple of times where Frost made him look a little bit silly too, and you thought, oh, geez, he's not in for a good one today. But the tide turned for him a little bit after halftime.
Well, it had to. When you've, I think in the second half, it was 42 inside 50s to 8.
Yeah, what was it, 22-1 in the third?
In the third, and 42-8 overall in the second half. I mean, they're numbers that are just unheard of. So if you're a forward in that team, and you want to be getting a kick. But, yeah, look, he did seem to move a bit better. I thought Brad Close got a nice confidence booster with those couple of snap goals in the third quarter.
Henry got a confidence booster.
Henry came on and had some impact.
It's really interesting, the Buse one. If Busey doesn't get hurt, when does Henry actually get injected into the contest? And who for? I know it's a hypothetical.
You said Tom Hawkins was going to go out.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't say that.
Did you say that the week before?
I said that the week before, that maybe he might have been...
I'm missing my weeks, King. I'm not.
He might have been a contender the week before De Koning got hurt.
Are you hanging on for grim death?
We're all hanging on for grim death, Benny, in some way, shape or form. Tom Stewart.
Yeah, it was good.
Was outstanding again. Radigalia was really good.
Yeah, geez, they need to sign him, Kingy. We spoke to Simon Lloyd pre-game.
His value is going up.
And he, you know, they give you absolute donuts, but...
But he admitted, Simon Lloyd was actually, one, I think, impressed that at the question, even though he thought it was...
Yeah, he thought it was nearly, which was an absolute disgrace.
Hello, Simon. I know you listen. And... But it obviously they are. It's a timing thing. I would suspect the management of Sava Radiglia going, so we're not signing right
100%.
We'll come and talk to you in September.
Yeah,
when this bloke's playing finals as a key defender, does he get squeezed though?
When?
Well, you get everybody back.
By a club or
no? When Geelong has everybody back on the tools,
back on his tools. I'm not sure who. Well, I hope not. Have you ever been squeezed, Kingy, when you...
You're an idiot.
No.
You were dead set in
the side. I don't think he gets squeezed. I mean, he and De Koning are your centre-half back and your full-back for the foreseeable future. Who would be squeezing? You mean when Henry comes back?
Yep.
Well, I think that allows Tui to play a different role, so he comes out of the defence. I don't think that Mitch Duncan necessarily needs to play half-back all the time.
Oh, I think he does.
Well...
Because he's their best user.
Yes.
Who's their next best user?
Cam Guthrie.
But he'll probably play in the
midfield. He actually didn't kick the ball that well in the weekend, but he is a good user of the ball generally.
Duncan's the best user off halfback Geelong have got.
Tui's good.
Mitch Duncan is the best user
they've got. But he also can be a little shaky defensively.
Yes.
It's not his go.
No.
I'm not giving it a go at him, but it's not his go.
You don't want him going one-on-one with somebody that's stronger and taller, but sometimes you've got to sacrifice that.
Potentially. I think they could shuffle it around, but I think if you're looking at the teams that Geelong potentially will be clashing with, you're looking at...
Melbourne, Collingwood, Brisbane.
So you've got Collingwood have Carlton. Cox, Majacek. Majacek's probably more mid-size, so you could match up against...
You've got Ash Johnson as well,
College
potentially.
Asley and Ash Johnson. Yeah, he's not... Radigalia's probably not going to him. There are the odd team where there's not an obvious matchup for him. Certainly against Carlton there is.
Mm.
Probably goes to Mackay, I would have thought.
Yep.
Or even Kernow. I just don't know if he has the tank to go with Kernow. But there's a matchup there for him. Richmond, I think there's a matchup.
Probably to Revolt.
Possibly.
And Do Conan goes to Lynch.
College Asney's done a good number on Rewalt more than once, I reckon.
So does Do Conan goes but to, I,
what
to
I,
Lynch.
What I think we've seen, Kingy, in the first three games, is what I really like about Radaglia, is that he's not just a defender.
No.
He actually, for somebody who I don't think reads the game that well playing forward, he actually reads the game a whole lot better in defence. Even when they've been being beaten, he's been in some good spots to defend and done all he can. Yep. And he was in some good spots on Monday. Against the Hawks. So he actually sort of has this ability to read the game quite well, and he's athletic enough to get to contests that some perhaps can't. So I think that he is a lock in that team, and you find a matchup for him, because if he doesn't have a matchup, let's say he doesn't have an obvious, you know, key to go to, you could play him as something of a sort of a sweeper type player who gets in the way at 198 and 100 and whatever kilos he is.
Mm. He reads it pretty well coming in.
He does. Reads it really well coming in. So I think he's a lock to play. So I think he and De Koning are your pillars. He's only 24. De Koning's what, 21, 2?
21.
So they are your key. You've got two really, really good key defenders for the next, let's say Radaglia plays to 30. Might be selling him short, but the next 7 or 8 years.
Yep.
De Koning longer. I think it would be an absolute shame if he was to leave, but I can see where he's coming from. His manager would be saying, well, we'll just wait and see. But I really like what he's been able to do, not just defensively, but offensively. And the other thing, too, is he's flying for things, and he's, okay, you're going to get it wrong when you're playing defence every now and then. Everyone's going to get beaten, even the best.
And his natural instincts would have been to fly for marks because he's been playing as a forward.
So he has to get a little bit of balance there of when to spoil and when to fly. But if you can... Those sort of blokes who can mark the ball defensively, which De Koning was last year, they can help change the game.
Stuart.
Because, the ball's coming in, suddenly there's a mark. If you can have the quick switch off a contested mark in the back half, that can set a chain where the opposition just can't get back to cover you. And those guys are absolutely worth the waiting goal. And we saw it for a long period of time with players like Harry Taylor, Matthew Scarlett, and I'm going back thinking of other players like Alex Rance. Mm. Who else has been a really good key marking key defender? There's quite a few of them. Wiedering's very good at it.
Yep.
Those guys, I think, who just don't defend but can then attack and have the confidence to fly for their marks and take them, I reckon are worth their weight in
gold. Dane Rampey, even though he's a bit undersized, but he's played as that taller.
Tom McCartan.
Yep.
Marks it.
Yep.
I just love the fact that it's not just a defence. You know, he's not just defence first all the time, and he's not going to get it right 100% of the time, but I like the way he goes about it.
The Cats are going to have to make a change because Gary Rowan
is out.
And Jed Buse is out.
Is he?
That's concussion protocol.
Just concussion.
I haven't heard anything more other than that.
I would have to think they were checking his cheekbone.
Yes, potentially.
You wouldn't leave the game.
No.
Or the ground. Did he leave the ground?
Well, that we didn't get absolutely.
Well, I saw him in the rooms with his mum and dad.
Yeah, they might have been just down there checking on him.
Well, he had his bag with him.
Yeah, okay.
Unless they were going off to some sort of teddy bear's picnic that was starting early, he was leaving the ground, which is very odd. Mm. You don't leave the ground.
Unless you're going somewhere for a checkup.
Yes.
Well, he might be going for an X-ray or something like that.
That's what I mean. That's where I'd put my life on it. Yeah. So we haven't heard that it's come back positive or negative.
I haven't heard anything, though.
No.
No, it's what, less than 48 hours from the game. De Koning, if
back
he's,
in.
You would think he's okay. Well, Simon Lloyd gave the impression that things were moving okay.
I also thought in our pre-game interview that Simon Lloyd gave the impression that Sam Simpson might play this week.
Mm, he's close.
He was up and he actually sort of went out of his way to mention Sam Simpson in that interview.
Yep.
We didn't really bring him up. He said, how good Sam Simpson going out there today while the reserves were on the pregame?
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see because coming off a 6-day break and going to play the Eagles in Adelaide, is that where a Tui maybe is given a game off?
Dangerfield?
Are you resting the captain a month in when you're 1-3 on a ground that he likes playing on?
Richmond have rested Rewalt.
Not the captain.
I know, but he's still a good player.
Yeah, but he's not the captain.
Well, I think at some point you maybe. I mean, this is the time you might. Do you bring Bruin back after 34 touches in the twos?
Yeah. Rowan goes into the. Rowan. Ollie Henry comes into the 22.
Yeah.
So you then need.
DeConey comes back in.
Yep. So there's your two changes covered. Do you then bring Simpson maybe for Tui?
I just have this
feeling.
Because
you can now play Simpson off a wing.
Yeah.
With Duncan back.
Yep.
I don't think they're resting. I don't think Dangerfield's having a.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Not for...
Didn't they rest Joel pretty early last year? Surely you must remember.
I think they rested him off Easter Monday. He played Easter Monday, which was 5 rounds.
Do you reckon
in.
I'm onto something?
I think you might be.
Yes, I am, Tom. Why don't you just admit it?
Let me just clarify with the sort of acrylic suit style. Let me just have a look at that's what the skipper did. He definitely played against Hawthorn on Easter Monday. As I scroll down on this wonderful rabbit hole
R-E-G.
Called.
Are you scrolling down R-E-G style?
AFL tables. Now, he played North Melbourne the following week. He had the break off the loss to Fremantle. At home into the loss to St Kilda. So who'd they play in that? They played the week. Who'd they play in between that? That was a home game, I reckon. But anyway, either way, yes, the skipper had a break, but not off round five.
Right.
He did have a break. He didn't play between round three and five, round four last year.
Oh, look, I'm just suggesting that's something that they might talk about.
I don't think
maybe you probably have to, the way the midfield's gone, you probably have to pick and choose maybe when you do it. This might be an opportunity. West Coast are depleted in the midfield. They've got a lot of injuries. Maybe this is a chance. I don't know. It's something that they certainly would throw around. I don't think you'd want to just get to any particular round and say, oh, okay, we're going to rest him here and you're playing against Melbourne at the G, which they won't. So maybe find the time to do it this week. Freshen him up. Short back up again into Sydney the following week.
Yep, 6 days.
Maybe. I don't know. Don't be surprised, Kingy. Don't be surprised.
I think the AFL, well, not that they influence selection, but I think they'd like Paddy Dangerfield captaining Geelong in Gather Round.
Well, the AFL can get stuff. Did you see the tweet?
Are you comfortable with Rowan's suspension?
Oh.
Well, Will Day got two.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a bit harsh. Thought he should have only got one. Look, I don't know. Going to sit on the fence a bit. I can see what the AFL are trying to do. Pardon?
Those tackles are no good.
No, but I mean,
because a player is in a vulnerable position, and when you make that sling movement, that's when the head's exposed. Might have been a good tackle 15 years ago, but not now.
No, but in fairness to Rowan, he didn't know. He would have absolutely no idea that the ball had spilled free.
But that doesn't matter even if the ball has spilled free.
Well, no, but I mean, it's just a vigorous tackle. It's very hard to change old habits.
It is.
I mean, it's extraordinarily hard. I mean, are there things that you do at home? Like, do your jock straps get left on the ground and then you get in trouble and you've been getting in trouble for 1,000 years and they continue to be left on the ground? Because old habits die hard.
They do.
Have you got any habits at home? Do you have anything that the old, you know, chief cook and bottle wash does that absolutely, absolutely pisses you right off?
That I do that annoys her.
No, that she does that annoys you, and then stuff that you do. Because
there's nothing I'm bringing up in a public
what,
forum.
What, nothing?
Because there's people that listen to this podcast that
like
will
what?
Know my wife.
So what? Give us one thing she does.
No.
There's got to be something.
No, actually, my wife's actually...
Come on, that's sad. That's absolute. That's horseshit.
You've been sitting on the fence all show.
Yeah.
It's my turn to get splinters.
No, well, this...
What about in Geelong West?
In the West,
yeah.
Well, there's a crap load of things.
What does Mrs. C get up to? That you
well,
don't
the
like?
Jocks, the jocks on the floor never ever goes down.
Not
well.
Not your jocks.
Who saw those ones I got? Do you know that the sexy land elves work overtime? I love that, but no, right. There's plenty of stuff.
Can we talk footy?
There's plenty of stuff we do at home.
People actually think we give good analysis.
All right,
which is frightening. Can I give you some questions?
Yeah,
yeah. Howler 41. This is a shorter show than we gave you. War and Peace last week. This is the more picture book edition of the Cat Attack podcast. How many blokes will get the drug testers for the old urine test? Surely they all took something at halftime. Don't care what it was because they turned the corner and put the stinky hawks to the sword. Howler 41. Not getting too carried away, but there are still issues, but the clearance work improved. Some guys found touch. Close, Stengel, Hawkins, Danger, Henry, Bose all got involved in the third and fourth quartership. All names we've mentioned.
Yep.
Joining the hood work that Holmes, Myers, Zach Guthrie, Cameron and Sava did in the first half. Bruin having 34 touches and 7 clearances in VFL needs to return. It's our biggest issue right now. Get him in the centre bounces against a weaker West Coast and let him work. Speaking of VFL, thought Ollie Dempsey and Sam Simpson played well. Jai Clark moved to half back and found some touches.
Yeah, he did.
We didn't have an AFL-listed key position player in the VFL. No Neil Segler, Phoenix Foster or Conway. Dude, Deborah Conway playing, which forced 193-centimetre Mitch Nevitt into centre-half forward. I did notice that during the last quarter. No tall defenders developing outside of the AFL team. An abundance of mids and flankers in the VFL. Could Nevitt go back to defence?
That's why Radicalia needs to stay, because there's nothing there's nothing underneath.
Yeah, they were asking about injuries. We did speak to about O'Sheen Mullen, the Irishman. He's got a hamstring. Shannon Neal, an ankle issue again.
Rolled his ankle quite badly.
Yeah, Phoenix Foster, we haven't...
I think that happened a while ago with Shannon Neal.
Yeah, but he played the week before.
Yeah, but I think he might have suffered a little...
setback with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Menegola, Jack Henry, Conway listed as to be confirmed. Yeah, it's a medium term. They don't, they never give time, they're reticent to give time frames, because when they give time, they've been saying this for you, the Cats, we'll give you a time frame, and then what happens is that we don't actually, it doesn't end up being that, and then we get potted for giving the wrong time frame. So they just take the short, medium, and long term.
You just do the 2 to 4 cover, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't necessarily.
Well, I don't know.
The old 6 to 8 used to be a common one.
That was Neil Laurie Keane indefinite.
Neil Barnes used to be 6 to 8. You like the 6 to 8. Daz Broncos, great call on the weekend. Several rapid fires. What was the text that was sent the box into the abyss? Must have been a pearler, as it took anyone who saw it.
It was to do with, Google it, Daz. It was to do with a golfer being...
A golfer's stance.
Yeah, but it was to do with a golfer being bitten by a bee.
We'll leave it at that.
Something to do with their stance.
We'll leave it at that. Like the idea of rotating Easter Monday to KP, but in reality, once every 4 years is a Cats home game. So we effectively swap it from Kininga Park to MCG as a home game, i.e. this year Cats at home, next year Hawks at home, year after Cats at home at GMHBA, then the Hawks are home again. And if you get 86th for that one, my offer of boundary right, a sub-vest duty stands, as you'll be calling members per what Neilty said. Anyone doubting the value of the Cameron trade, I think it's just fair to say we've at least broken even. No, Geelong have won that because they won a flag. And the moment Geelong won a premiership was the moment that the Jeremy Cameron trade was won.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happens. Guy's a dead set bona fide star and match winner. His footy brain is just uncanny. Jeez, he was good with us after the
he
game.
He must be sore with those ribs too.
Yeah.
After that hit,
does he not go to?
No, he's not. You wouldn't tip him out. No. Holy crap! Now you're really off your rocker.
Thank you. Go Cats! Just on the knees, up in the ruck. Any chance we can get Damien Burke or Darren Flanagan back for a week to sort out the opposition rucks if they're going to persist with that?
Yeah, that's rubbish. I see Mason Cox trying to defend it.
No,
I mean, if you jump with your knee and you're jumping in the air, well, that's how you're going to jump. You can't just jump straight up with your legs straight, but that's fine if you're going for the ball. These guys haven't got their eye on the ball. They've got the eye on the opposition ruckman, and they've got a plant foot, and they're just raising the
knee up.
They're raising the knee up. That's just rough. I can't understand how Mason Cox, I thought he was an educated man, but clearly, where he's got his education from. That's just rubbish. That's dangerous and shouldn't happen. And this is my point about, and I'm going to go on about this because... if we don't get rid of the bounce soon,
somebody's going to get it.
It's rubbish. It is absolute rubbish. And if I hear one person say to me, oh, it's just the oval ball. Well, when was the last time you saw, you know, the ball bounces all over the place in general play? Yeah, of course it does. When was the last time you saw an umpire get involved in general play?
Peter Cameron.
Yeah.
Or Peter Carey.
So what we should do is the umpire should just be able to get in the road, mark the ball anytime he likes and handball it to a player. Because it's an oval ball.
You might be onto something, Ben.
This is rubbish. It's rubbish. I mean, the whole idea of to start the game or restart after a goal is to have a 50-50 contest, not an 85-15 or a 90-10. That's just, and what is the point in setting up around the, you know, having your setups in the midfield and you work on those? What is the point of those when the ball bounces all over the place? Absolute, it's just absolute rubbish, and it's got to go, the bounce. Absolutely got to go.
The Ranger, excellent listening on Monday again, lads. You made some excellent points in last week's podcast and pre-match about the effort still being there but not getting to the right areas. That certainly showed on Monday when everything changed with what seemed like a flick of a switch.
Well, just with talking about that, Neilty was quite critical in the first half of Geelong's half forwards not working hard enough to clog up the space, and that allowed Hawthorn that switch kick in from half back. And I think that's the job of the, you know, Myers, Close and Stengel to get up and actually cut that kick off. And we saw it a lot in the second half. Now, they were absolutely swamping Hawthorn, so it was maybe a little miscued, but we saw them, Myers, Close and Stengel. Yep. I think Stengel at one point got involved with the defensively cutting one off and then ran in and actually marked the ball in the forward pocket.
Yep.
I don't know if he kicked the goal from memory or not. I think he did, maybe. Anyway,
but there was also a chain of play, I reckon, for the first time this year where we saw that one of them got the ball working up to help out from the clearance at half back, and he linked one. I think it was close. It might have been Myers to close to Stengel,
yeah,
or Myers to Stengel to close. Either way, we hadn't seen it this year.
Those three players are so important to Geelong. They're all slightly different, but they are so important when they're playing well. And I think watching their efforts, I think they're really important defensively as they are offensively.
Yep.
Because I know Close, well, particularly Myers, has an enormous tank. I don't know about Close. I think he's a pretty good runner.
Close is a good runner.
Yeah, so they've got the ability. I don't know that Stengel is, but he's much more dangerous closer to goal. So those three are so important to the way Geelong play and in terms of helping them out when they're trying to defend.
Given we will need to work different areas defensively depending on the opposition, do you think we could see this happen in many games? Start behind on the scoreboard and stop them in their tracks. I think the coaching style and methodology does empower and give autonomy to our players to change mid-game. Geelong players have always been given control to a point of, you know, what they do out on the field. It's not necessarily from coming up in the coach's box.
No, and I think you've got it. To be a good football team, that's what you've got to be able to do. You've got to be able to adjust and I was talking to one player who was talking about the VFL team and you know, they've been obviously pummeled in the last couple of weeks. And he was saying that it's so difficult when the players don't know each other that well and they've got so many of them and haven't played much footy together. And he said some of them just struggle with basic understanding of how the ball might move, not offensively but defensively. And they don't read the cues. So it's very difficult to... And they're being picked apart because the switch kick often is getting them because there's not players reading the ball.
Yep.
So it's that was part of the... And they weren't making excuses. They were just saying that's the reality. They weren't pointing any fingers.
Bunch of kids and a bunch of blokes who are part-timers.
Yes, who don't have that sort of top-level understanding.
And even then, the VFL list is not what it used to be. It's not the days of, you know, Troy Selwood and Dom Gleeson and guys like that who'd played a lot of footy either at AFL level or really good VFL. And then you had, you know, Ryan Abbott and you had Aaron Black and you had Jackson Thurlow and you had Darcy Lang and guys like that who'd played a bit of league footy. And now it's guys we've never heard of in the VFL. It's not like Geelong have gone and got a couple of ex-AFL listed blokes for the VFL list. They're running with local GFL blokes that, you know, unless you...
And they're also sacrificing or not playing some senior players. I mean, I know they needed to have a whole one over, but, you know, Parfitt didn't play at all. And I think in the first week or two, someone like Segler was taken off, you know, at some point in the third quarter and didn't come back on.
Yeah, they still won.
Yeah, so it's clearly just, you know, they're not trying to win those. I mean, they want to win, but it's very much a development. But at the moment, so, I mean, I don't know the list as well as you do, Kingy, but how many kids or how many players weren't playing on the weekend in the VFL? So Conway's won.
Yep.
Parfitt didn't play, obviously.
Phoenix Foster didn't play.
Segler didn't play. Phoenix Foster, yeah.
Jack Henry. Didn't play on the weekend.
Yep.
Did you mention Conway?
Yep.
Jack Henry, De Koning didn't play on the weekend.
Yeah, De Koning was out.
You're pushing the...
I mean, I don't...
They only ran
did
with
Cooper
10.
White play?
Yeah, he did.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he did, yep.
I don't know that I saw him.
Yeah, he did play. Let me just have a look at the VFL from the weekend.
It's like, just difficult because they're getting pizzled, but they're... I mean, Simpson and Bruin were probably their two most experienced players, were they?
Yeah, who's played more AFL games? Simpson may have... I said Bruin at about 32.
No, I reckon, they'd be about the same.
They're very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has Sammy gone into the 30s or is he still high 20s?
No, I'm not sure. They'd be right on the same sort of mark.
In terms of games.
And they were probably their two best players.
Yep.
We haven't seen Conway at all this year, have we?
No, they're not in a hurry. No. Second year, big man with a foot problem. You're not mucking around.
What was his problem last year?
He had an ankle issue last year.
He's got off to an inauspicious start, fair to say.
Yeah, but they're not expecting...
No, I know they're not expecting anything, but it'd be nice to get him out there and just get him rolling a little bit. I mean, if he doesn't get a kick, just get him out there. I mean, he's had 2 years in a row now, we've hardly seen him.
Yeah. They... What they had? Bruin, Nevitt, White, Clark, Willis, Riccardi, Dempsey, Murdoch, Simpson, and Clohese were the only AFL listed players. Oh, I probably lied. Braden Ham's an AFL-listed player with some experience, but he's not a dominant presence on the field. He won a lot of
footy. So they had a couple there, but they're all kids, basically.
Yeah, like, you know, Braden Ham, Tynan Smith, Dan Caperon's been around for a while, Darby Shilder, Bailey Vanderhoevel, Jai Chalkcraft, obviously reigning best and fairest, Harry Benson, the kid from St Mary's, Tanner Lewis from Geelong West, Tom Feely, he's played a little bit of VFL, Will Christie, Ben Lloyd, Angus Byrne, Hamish Lucas. So you're not...
Some household names here. Like, did you say Vanderhoevel?
Yeah, so his sister was on the Geelong list. She's at Essendon now.
Right.
AFLW.
The Vanderhoevels.
Yep, from Ballarat.
Right. Mm. Great name.
Anyway, it's half an hour, Ben.
We used to... Is it?
Yeah.
We've got to go, but we used to have a guy who lived up our street, and he was Vanderwall.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what he did one day?
Oh, this concern. I've got. Do you know what? I've got to this point without
he
having
set
to edit
fire
the show.
To the. He set fire to the.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Allegedly, he set fire to the.
Is this person still around?
I don't know.
Is this the street you currently?
This is 1,000 years ago.
This is street.
No, right.
Okay.
This is from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He set fire to the. To the. Nappies or the tissues at the supermarket in the aisle.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He's not sure why, but he did. And, I think he got spanked reasonably hard.
Oh, as a child? It was a child.
Yeah.
Was it an accident?
Well, I don't know if it was an accident or not. Oh. But anyway, I've got a joke.
That's great, Benny. Huh? You can tell it on air on Sunday.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.